where I live.
Intruder alert, intruder alert.
Welcome aboard, Captain. Fighter pilots needed in Sector Wars. Play Astro Blaster.
R2 trying to increase the power.
Hi friends, Vic Sage here, and thank you for joining us once again for the Diary of an Arcade Employee podcast. The audio hint I provided on the last episode didn't stump many of you arcade addicts. We are indeed going to be discussing Konami's 1982 fixed shooter classic, Puyan. This episode marks a small departure from the standard show, as, so far, I've basically only talked about arcade titles that we have at the Arcadia Retrocade. Not as a form of advertisement, but because I can not only share my memories of the game in question, but how it ties into working at the arcade. With Puyan, while we do have it on a multicade cabinet in the party room, we have as yet not gotten our hands on this 1982 classic. Not from a lack of trying, I might add. The reason I am shining the spotlight on the game in this episode is because, quite frankly, it was requested by Clayton, a good friend of the podcast and the Diary Facebook page. Because, as it turns out, like myself, he is quite the fan of the game. Puyan was developed and produced by the legendary Konami, although it was released in North America by Stern Electronics. The game director was Takiro Fujiwara, who has had a hand in more than a few classic arcade titles, as well as some ports to home systems. Takiro began his game designing career at Konami, beginning in 1982. Then, at some point in 1983, he jumped ship to Capcom, where he stayed for 13 years, leaving in 1996 to form his own company called Whoopi Camp. Where, in 2005, he returned to Capcom, working not just as a director of titles, but in a consulting position too. Just a few of the titles that he worked on include Konami's 1983's Rock and Rope, 1984's pirate ship Higumaru, which was done for Capcom, 1986's Rush and Crash, and the Street Fighter II Championship Edition on the Sega Mega Drive, as well as 1996's Final Fight II. Seriously, friends, that really is just the tip of the iceberg on the games that Takiro has worked on in some capacity. Overall, he's credited with over 70 games. Puyan, much like Namco's 1982 title Dig Dug or Sega's Pingo, or maybe even Gottlieb's Q-Bert from the same year, is one of those games that while having a cutesy design requires a lot of skill to play, especially in later levels. Although, I would argue that with regards to Q-Bert, you need a good level of skill right from the beginning. Anyway, as I have already mentioned, Puyan has been classified as being in the fixed shooter genre, the definition of which includes the following. 1. A game where the level or stage consists of one single screen. 2. The movement allowed to the player is generally fixed to a single axis. 3. The ability to aim is usually only in one direction. Just a few arcade titles that are considered to be fixed shooters include Space Invaders, Galaxian, Centipede, Phoenix, and Gorf. In Puyan, 1 to 2 players taking alternate turns are tasked with helping a mother pig known as Mama attempt to reclaim her kidnapped piglets, or Puyans, from a pack of hungry wolves. All of this you witness at the beginning of the game. Of course, the players have to do their very best to make sure that Mama doesn't lose any more Puyans to the wolves or become a snack herself in the process. There are 2 different types of stages and 2 distinct bonus levels in Puyan, but the screen always features a large tree or cliff face on the left-hand side, with an overhang at the top of the screen that almost reaches the slightly smaller cliff face on the right-hand side of the stage. The latter is the area that Mama and her Puyan call home. A little house is situated at the bottom of the cliff, with Puyan inside. Mama, in an attempt to stop the wolves from stealing more of her children, stands inside an elevator, or gondola of sorts, that is attached to a rope and pulley system on the outside of that cliff face. The player, using a single two-way joystick, can move the gondola vertically up and down as they wish. I should point out there is a cute bit of design in the game that when you are moving Mama, you can see two Booyan, or boy pigs, at the very top of the cliff pulling on the rope that is attached to the gondola. Sure, the addition doesn't exactly add anything to Booyan itself in terms of gameplay, but it does add to the fantasy, an inspired design choice that gives the feeling that the whole family is working hard to get those piglets back. Now, Mama does have an ability to defend herself, and that is with a bow and arrow. She uses it not to plug the wolves with arrows, but to pop the balloons they use to travel with. I suppose we might as well get on to the bad guys of the game. Those pesky and ravenous wolves attempt to take Mama out and steal more Booyans in a couple of different ways, depending on which stage or round you are on. On the odd number stages, the wolves will show up on a large limb of that giant tree, taking turns and, in waves in later levels, jumping off the limb and descending to the ground below slowly by way of big colorful balloons. Which is, of course, what Mama uses that bow and arrow for. Bear in mind, she can only fire two arrows at one time. Mama won't be able to loose another arrow until one hits a balloon, popping it and causing the wolf to plummet, or the arrow happens to be blocked. You see, the wolves also can use the strings they're holding onto to shield those balloons from your arrows. Thankfully, they can only block an arrow once in the early stages. But even blocking it once costs you precious time to stop the wolves from, in the case of the first round, reaching the ground safely, especially when they are coming in multiple waves. That is an issue for a couple of reasons. One is that when a wolf safely reaches the ground, it absconds with another of the Booyans. Plus, that cliff face also happens to have a set of four ladders. Hey, the Booyans had to climb up to the top to man the rope and pulley somehow, right? Well, the first four of the wolves that make it to the ground will climb those ladders and attempt to bite Mama as the player is moving the gondola up and down past them. While it's not too hard to avoid the bites in the early stages if you're careful, you also have to contend with one other threat by the wolves. As they are floating down by balloon, they will hurl rocks at Mama. If one makes contact with her, she will topple out of the gondola and fall to the ground and cost the player a life. I should point out a couple of things. First is that while Mama doesn't have the luxury of a shield exactly like the wolves, the top and very bottom of the gondola can reflect a tossed rock. The player must go up or down so that the rock hits the top region or the very bottom of the elevator. Which certainly becomes more tricky when you have some wolves on that ladder snapping at you from behind, as you're attempting to avoid getting clocked in the head with a rock. Mama can also shoot the rocks out of the air, but when the stage is loaded up with floating wolves, you will want to stay focused on popping those balloons as much as possible. Taking out a balloon will get you 200 points each, as will shooting one of the thrown rocks. Although in the later stages of the game, the point value will increase, as will the difficulty. I want to thank the Booyan Strategy Wiki for this next bit of advice, because I wasn't aware of it, ever. That while you might lose Booyans to the wolves on the odd-numbered stages, it does allow you to get more bonus points on the even-numbered rounds when Mama successfully frees them. Now, Mama has one additional weapon that will appear on stages at the top of the cliff face, and that happens to be a giant slab of meat. Now, when the player picks it up, they won't be able to fire off an arrow, and when you throw out the slab of meat, it travels in an arc. Every wolf that it passes will let go of their balloon in an attempt to grab the easy meal, letting them crash to the ground below. Think of it as being a little like the smart bomb in Defender, but you will have to be careful how you use it. For one thing, on later stages, when a random balloon floats up, without a wolf attached, I mean, if the slab of meat hits that balloon, it will just bounce off and be wasted. With the even-numbered rounds, or stages, a player will have to stop the wolves from trying to float upwards by balloon to reach an overhanging cliff ledge. If seven of them manage to reach the top, they will have enough strength to push a large boulder off the ledge and crush Mama beneath it. You will also be faced with having to hit a balloon more than once to pop it. Some might even require up to three to make them explode. Thankfully, hopefully you will know you successfully hit it, because it will shrink ever so slightly, and depending on how many hits it needs to burst, it might also change color. By the way, if you do lose a life in the even-numbered rounds, when you start over, there will already be four wolves on top of the cliff ledge, pushing that giant boulder ever closer to the edge. Thankfully, none of the standard wolves in these rounds will block your arrows. Trust me, it's hard enough as it is. Plus, you needn't worry about the wolves climbing the ladders behind Mama. You might have noticed I said standard wolves won't be able to shield their balloons in the even-numbered rounds. That is, because starting with round 2, after you've defeated the last standard wolf, you will have to contend with the boss wolf. These big bad wolves will block multiple arrows, 5 in total before you can finally pop their flashing red balloon, and be satisfied watching, like the small wolves in his pack, as he drops flailing headfirst to the ground below. Now, if the boss wolf reaches the cliff ledge, the number of wolves you will need to defeat goes up by 4. Let me try to explain that. On the odd and even-numbered stages, the number of wolves you need to vanquish appears on a flag of sorts in the upper left-hand side. If you take out the boss wolf on the even-numbered rounds, no matter what number might be left on the flag, you win the stage, and are treated to a delightful reunion between Mama and her freed Pooyans, plus those bonus points for each of the piglets you reclaimed. One more thing to keep in mind about the even-numbered rounds is that while you are given meat slabs, they will stop appearing once the boss wolf comes into play. So, a good strategy is to avoid using them when the remaining number of wolves begins to dwindle. Because, just like the standard ones, the boss wolf can't resist trying to grab that slab of meat, and it's a quick way to take him out of the game. Alright, I suppose I should now talk about the bonus stages of Pooyan. The first type of bonus stage gives the player a never-ending supply of slabs of meat. With them, you will need to try to take out the wolves who are floating up on balloons trying to reach the top of the tree. Here is the problem, though. You are trying to take out the wolves with as few as those thrown slabs of meat as possible. Keep in mind that taking out the ravenous beasties in a row will net you more points. 400 for the first wolf, then 800, and a whopping 600 points for each additional wolf you hit with the thrown slab of meat after that. This bonus round appears after the first second stage is completed, and then once again after every other even round. The second bonus stage is a bit different. The wolves have constructed their own ladders on a tree located on the left-hand side of the stage. 5 of them face towards Mama and hurl not rocks this time, but fruit. It's the player's task to shoot as many of them as possible with their bow and arrow. In total will be thrown, starting from the wolf at the very top of the ladder, and then in descending order. After the wolf at the bottom of the ladder throws its fruit, it will go back up to the top wolf. This type of bonus stage shows up the second time you've cleared the first two stages, and will show again on every other even round. Bear in mind, it's not like you can lose a life on these bonus stages, but it does allow you to reap some nice bonus points. In the case of the fruits, you get 200 points for each one you manage to shoot down. That is all calculated at the end of the bonus stage, on top of earning 200 points for just shooting the fruit in the first place. Friends, that is the basic gameplay of Pooyan. After that first bonus stage, and you reach round 3, it repeats the first stage, with the addition now of a boss wolf appearing at the top of the large tree. He won't attack Mama or try to jump off the ledge and reach the ground with a balloon. His job is to throw fruit down towards the ground. Hey, you might think he's being generous with free points, but the problem is, obviously, if the fruit passes in front of a wolf's balloon, your arrow will hit the fruit and not the balloon. You know, it's like the age-old saying, never trust a wolf pushing a fruit cart, right? No? I knew my father was pulling my leg. That has never been an old adage. Sorry for the silliness. Obviously, as the rounds progress, the enemies speed up and become better at blocking Mama's arrows. And while I've already said it before, Puyin is a simple game, and quite colorful. But it does require a great deal of skill if you want to get any further than the first couple of rounds. In my youth, the first time I encountered the game was at my local Showbiz Pizza. If you've listened to the special episode of this podcast talking about that fabled arcade of my youth, you know that by the time I was first able to visit it, a lot of classic titles had already made their way from the main floor. The Showcase Rose, as I've called it, to be placed on the lower level of the arcade with the likes of Popeye, Donkey Kong Jr., and Mr. Do. Not bad games, of course, not by a long shot. They too are classics, but they had begun to cease bringing in the amount of tokens like the latest arcade titles. It was there, around Jungle Hunt and Yi Ar Kung Fu, that I first played Puyin. After that weekend was over and I was back at school and talking about the game to my fellow schoolmates, I quickly came to the conclusion that I was kind of in the minority when it came to seeing how much fun Puyin really was. So much so that I was in fact made fun of after admitting how much I liked the game. Once Puyin left Showbiz Pizza, I never saw it in an arcade again, nor at a local gas station or grocery store. Although, to be fair, I was able to play it at home thanks to numerous home ports, like for the Atari 2600, which might shock you to learn is a pretty remarkable port of the game. That was released in 1982. Datasoft took on the duties of porting Puyin to the popular home computers of the day, like the Atari 400 and 800, as well as for the Commodore 64 in 1983. It was in 1984 when the Apple II received a port, and it's a really beautiful looking home version if I say so myself. In 1985, the MSX received a port, the same year actually as Hudson Soft releasing a version for the Famicom system. And while we haven't been able to get a Puyin for the arcade just yet, you might like to know that the world record holder for the game is Mark Kentner, who scored 1,609,250 points, verified by a referee on December 16th, 1983.
And now, these messages.
Now, playing on ColecoVision, Mr. Do and Time Pilot, two of the best new arcade games for the best system made. This is Time Pilot, a battle with aircraft from the past and the future.
Homing missile! Got him! Uh-oh! Blue bomber!
And this is Mr. Do. Mow a path to his fruit and start picking, but don't get picked off.
Powerball!
Nice shot. Mr. Do and Time Pilot, now playing on ColecoVision. The best system in town keeps getting better.
I've heard kids talking about Konami video games from the Nintendo Entertainment System like they were real. Come on! I mean, the action in Konami's Russian attack is awesome. And those dudes in Castlevania are pretty intense. And I'll even admit that the sound of Konami games is jamming. But realistic? Give me a break.
Konami video games, so real, they'll blow you away.
Friends, Puyin was ported to more than just the popular home computers and consoles of the day. In 1982, Lancey, a French electronic company, I believe, secured the rights from Konami to produce handheld LCD Puyin games. As far as I can tell from the images available online, it does a rather serviceable job recreating the first stage of the arcade game. Furthermore, and this is one I will admit really took me by surprise, in 1983, Ideal produced Puyin board games. While I have not had the pleasure of playing the game myself, Board Game Geek has two images available with this brief description. Quote, "This Flip Arcade series board game is based on the video game Puyin. Mama Pig must defend her piglets from the wolves. The action of the video game is recreated on a plastic board which forms a grid of squares. Stand-up plastic pieces are also included." End quote. Now, looking at the back of the box, the reason it is part of the Flip Arcade series is it in fact has a flipper attached to the base of the board game that shoots a marker upwards in an enclosed space. I suppose whichever number the marker stops on is how many squares Mama Pig's arrow travels. If you know anything about this board game, I hope you will contact me so I can share it on the Diary Facebook page. Puyin was also one of the video game manga to be featured in Famicom Rocky, which was published by CoroCoro Comics from 1985 to 1987. And did you know that in Konami's 2010 Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, there is an Puyan mission? Apparently it's true, but in this case, it requires you to fire at surface-to-air recovery balloons carrying wounded enemy soldiers. The psychotic part is that this special mission actually uses the music and sound effects from 1982's Puyan. Last, but certainly not least, while possibly not finding the type of popularity that Frogger or even Kangaroo achieved, Puyan did have a bootleg game made back in the day called Putan. And friends, I think that about wraps up everything I need to say about Puyan. If you'd like to know more about the Arcadio Retrocade, make sure to visit the Facebook page. Or, for almost daily posts, you can check out the Diary of an Arcade Employee podcast page on Facebook. I share all manner of vintage arcade and home console fun multiple times a day. If you have any feedback or comments about the podcast, you can always reach me on Facebook or throw me an email at vicsage@retroist.com. You also can often find me posting videos of the arcade on my Instagram account, which is simply vicsage_. I, of course, want to thank the Retroist, not for just hosting the show, but providing a spot on the internet where you can visit throughout the week to find some of the best retro-related articles and podcasts. The Diary of an Arcade Employee is available on iTunes, so if you have a moment, why not help us get the word out on the show by leaving a review and some comments? Now then, starting with this episode, we're going to go about choosing the subject of the next episode in a slightly different manner. You will determine which classic arcade title gets the spotlight on the next episode by submitting your vote to me by email. Once again, that is vicsage@retroist.com. For the next show, you can vote on either Atari's Centipede, or Atari's Asteroids. For the game that is chosen, I will randomly pick a winner that voted for it and send them something special. Maybe one of those Diary of an Arcade Employee coasters. I look forward to your votes, friends, and thank you once again for listening to the podcast. This has been a Retroist production. Thank you for listening, and have a better one. Goodbye.
End of line.